Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's one piece of pastoral advice I've learned deeply in my time in the office. It's listen closely to the stories that people tell over and over. They really aren't telling you a story. They are telling you about themselves, or at least how they see themselves. Of course, saying that means all of you will stop telling me your stories, so forget that for a second. But it's not just individuals that this applies to, but the tribes and peoples and nations. What stories do they tell over and over? They're telling you who they are. And watching and listening to my kids grow up, that has always been the biggest shocking change to me. The stories that were relayed to me as a child were often tall tales, folklore, Paul Bunyan and Babe and the Big Blue Ox or Pecos Bill. What did those say? We are bigger and tougher than our surroundings. We tamed the wild frontier. Growing up in Illinois, we had all of the Abraham Lincoln stories, from walking 10 miles to return a penny, to reading by candlelight, as well as the tougher ones, like how Lincoln's mother died early, and his dad really wasn't that good of a guy. However bad you have it now, greatness is possible. We might even carve your face into a mountain. And I know there are people complaining about whitewashing history, but the stories and the history told did include the bad stuff. Lincoln wasn't the hero that you told those stories about without the Emancipation Proclamation. Bible stories, of course, were common as well. I swear the Old Testament was known better than the New, but I would quiz my kids now and then about what they were studying or hearing or what the important stories being told were, and I would never hear any of those. The ones I hear were something I would often just call as twisted. And let me say twisted in this way. And this is a Mark Brown observation, so nobody is bound to this. But it's been something once I saw it, I really couldn't unsee it. The stories that are being told are usually about various isms. And unlike the old ones that were almost always told to say, this is who we are and we can do this, the replacements were being told to tell you why you couldn't. The fascism story was this group of identifiable people is keeping you poor. Of course, the original version was the Jews. But the updated versions is any group that you feel is taking your spot. The feminism story was simply that all men are trash and will never let you have anything. The socialist or communist story is that the system is rigged against you. I don't have a good ism, maybe call it declinism, but I often hear versions of it in the church. It's an evil age. The faithful church is proven by her decline. And of course, if you think the age is evil, or the system is rigged, or all men are bad, or some group is taking yours, the effect of these stories is division, death, and lethargy. If we can't win, why should we begin? We're all fighting over a distribution of a fixed and declining pie. Jesus' story of the kingdom of heaven today, I think, stands against all of those stories. The first thing that is made clear is that the vineyard, this image that Jesus uses for the people of God in the midst of the world, the vineyard always has work. The master of the house, the image for Jesus or the Father, goes out early in the morning to find workers. And there's more than enough work for the full day. But the work is such that he keeps going out at the third hour and the sixth and the ninth and even at the 11th hour. And what upsets him more than anything else is idleness. He's convinced there is plenty of work. And when he sees someone standing idle, he tells them, go to my vineyard and I'll pay you what is right. And even at the 11th hour, why have you been standing around here idle all day? And they try and move the blame onto someone else. Nobody hired us. Which can't be true because this master was here at 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. and noon and 3 and now again at 5 p.m. And he's offered work to everyone. But no matter, you go to my vineyard. The vineyard, the people of God in the midst of the world, always has work. We're never going to be perfect here because this is a living, breathing, organic thing. The curse of Adam was growth would come by the sweat of our brow. Read into the idea of vineyard growth whatever you want. Knowledge, holiness, sanctification, numbers, faith, love. There's always work in the vineyard. And the call goes out to everyone. The reward, the wages, are always the same. And they're completely unfair. The idea of fairness is first introduced by the master to the 9 a.m. guys. Whatever is right, I will give you. The 6 a.m. group knew what was promised, a denarius, a day's wage. And they went gladly. All those after who went had at some level to trust the master on what is right. And the expectation was probably some type of prorated denarius. But who really knew? It depended upon trust in the guy doing the pay. So, when the day's over at 6 p.m., and the master lines everyone up in reverse order, and starts paying the 5 p.m. guys a full day's wage, everyone back of line is expecting a bonus. We've worked the full day. We deserve it. But they all got the same. In the kingdom of heaven, the wages are not related to the work. There's always work in the vineyard. And the people will arrive at different times to do the work. But your work doesn't affect the wage. The wage is the same the moment you go to work in the vineyard. The wage is the same the moment you trust the master of the vineyard to give you what is right. Of course, the wage is eternal life. The wage is the forgiveness of all your sins. If God was fair, we'd never get either of those things. The wage is completely unfair. It's completely unfair for the 5 p.m. workers and just as unfair for the 6 a.m. Everyone who goes to the vineyard receives the same reward, the same wage. Of course, it isn't for the work because it's based on faith in the one who pays it out. The faith that whatever the crucified one gives us, will be right. Not necessarily fair, but right. Everyone who works in the vineyard receives eternal life, which is completely unfair, but it's in our benefit. But that unfairness of God does bring a question upon us. Do we want a fair pecking order? That's what they were grumbling for. You made them, the 5 p.m. boys, equal to us, the 6 a.m. arrivers. We've borne the heat of the day. If our eyes are focused upon this world, we might continue that argument. The saints and martyrs might have a legitimate gripe. Come on, God, you've got to have a purgatory. Surely they have more work to do before they can enter into the reward. The demand for a fair God and a clear pecking order is almost irresistible. But the master of the vineyard gives two responses. First, I have done you no wrong. This is what we agreed upon. Whatever time you arrived in the kingdom, the understanding has always been eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus liked to say things like, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering life before you. The unfairness of God. It doesn't depend upon timing or works done here. Just that you believe his offer and went to the vineyard. And the offer is always the same. The second thing that Jesus says is, I choose this. Do you begrudge me my generosity? God has chosen to be gracious with us. Do we prefer the law? The law is always fair. It convicts all of us. If we want the fair judge, we have one in Jesus. If we want the law, we can have it. Take what is ours, not heaven, not forgiveness of sins, but take what is ours, what meager reward we can scratch out of this earth, and go. Or we can rejoice in the grace of God. That's the question presented to us. Do we want the fairness of the law? Or do we want Jesus' righteousness, his rightness, given to us in the gospel? This is a much better story to tell. If we want a story to root our identities in, this parable of the kingdom is a much better one. Unlike the isms of the day, it will not stoop to casting blame at the 5 p.m.ers. Oh, they want to do that. But the master takes them to task. That's not how the kingdom works. You can't divide by perceived works. Because the last will be first, and the first last. Unlike the isms of the day, there's always more than enough in the kingdom. The master can pay whatever he wants. It's his in abundance. And there's always plenty of work. Maybe most importantly, unlike the isms of the day, this kingdom is for you. At the very minimum, God shall grant you what you thought you were getting, forgiveness and eternal life. But this is a gracious God. He's not just hired workers who we will then send home. He's made us heirs. He's given to us ownership of the vineyard. The kingdom is yours, should you stay. It's a much better story to tell. The one who hired us, let me tell you about his righteousness. He isn't fair, but he's always given us more than what is right. Amen.